You are listening to Water Online Radio. Coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts and ACE 2014, uniting the world of water. This broadcast is brought to you by Water Online Radio, the voice of the water resource and recovery industry, and WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. Water Online, now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Beantown. Good afternoon and welcome back to Water Online Radio's live day two coverage from ACE 14. Todd, year three of our coverage from this great event. And you know, one of my favorites is always a conversation with the gentleman we have next. I always learn something from him and fascinated by the work they're doing.
Now, the repeat guests are great. And on top of knowing what he's talking about, he's kind of a nice guy on top of it.
Well, so he's got that going for him. Yeah. Well, welcome back to the show, Jim Knepper. He's the Vice President of Sales with Jacobi Carbons. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you for the flattery. I hope it's sincere.
As far as you know.
At least partially.
As far as you know. Good to see you again, my friend.
You too, as well.
Before we get into our conversation, take a few quick seconds. Tell us about Jacobi Carbons. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
We are in the activated carbon business, obviously. We've been in the business since 1965 and in the U.S. pretty much since the mid-90s and formed the corporation Jacobi Carbons, Inc. in 2001. Since that time, we've grown pretty rapidly, probably about a 25 or 30% clip per year, and we've become what we believe to be the third largest activated carbon business on the globe, and just a shade under $75 million here in the United States. I think people might be surprised to know that now we're the largest coconut shell activated carbon manufacturer on the globe. We have four plants, two in India, one in Sri Lanka, and one in the Philippines. Or I'm sorry, and one in Vietnam, and building one now in the Philippines that'll be commissioned in 2015.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
But Jacobi just got acquired as well.
We did. We got acquired by a company called Osaka Gas Chemicals, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Osaka Gas, which is a Japanese energy company. They're about $15 billion in U.S. dollars in revenue. And it's been a fantastic thing. There hasn't been that much impact so far to our business on a day-to-day thing. It was only announced and executed, I believe, on January 7th. So it's been less than five months. Yeah. So not much has happened since in the Americas part of the business. But you talk about a good fit. I mean, they covered Japan. We have the rest of the world. There's a little bit of overlap in personnel and product lines, but really not that much. And it's going to strengthen and broaden our product line. It's going to implement best practices for us. And tremendous access to their research and development capabilities. And you can imagine a $15 billion company versus us at $200 million, what we were before the acquisition. Their R&D capabilities are probably about 5 to 10x of what ours were.
Yeah. Well, that alone will have a dramatic impact on what you do. But it does sound like your customers are going to benefit greatly from that.
I hope so. They have a very explicit goal that they want to be number one in all their businesses, Osaka Gas Chemicals, so they want to be number one by 2020, and not just in terms of market share, but in technical and marketing leadership role. They want to be the cat's meow, so to speak, by 2020 in our business. So it's nice to see.
We're the cat's meow in the Water Online.
Absolutely. That's unquestioned, and that is sincere.
What are you featuring at the booth this year, Jim?
Basically, the general way of looking at it is that our Aquasorb product line, which is designed for drinking water treatment. I think specifically some of the products are our CBMW series, which would be one of our variety of powdered activated carbons for taste and odor grades. But essentially, Aquasorb granular, or as the market likes to call it, GAC. Sometimes you have to spell that out for this particular market, that GAC is granular activated carbon. And not just made from coconut shell, but also from bituminous coal, anthracite coal, wood-based materials, lignite coal. So we've got, we think, to be the broadest product line in the industry for activated carbon.
Well, Todd and I would be the first to tell you that Jacobi certainly is an innovative organization, and certainly now with the acquisition by Osaka Gas, that's in coupling with their research. But activated carbon doesn't always seem like a technology that's very innovative. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
You know, my answer to that would be the customer's perception is their reality, as we say in the sales business. So is it fair from a customer perspective, especially here in the municipal market at ACE? I'd say yes. But it's not fair internally to us because there's been a lot of technical development and R&D going on in carbon in the last 10 years. We've come out with a new catalytic material, catalytic carbon, that's based on coconut shell. That's the best of both worlds for, we believe, disinfection byproducts, but also adding catalytic activity, and that's our CXMCA. We've got the ability to tailor-make carbons by either blending existing materials or either creating more of a porous carbon, what we call like to call macroporous material, out of a microporous material, or vice versa, actually making the pores smaller, being able to do these things with R&D, not just out of current raw materials that we use, but new raw materials as well. And I think what we have to do is get more involved so that the market is asking us what they need from us to be doing as an activated carbon supplier, instead of us telling them what we're doing. I think that's a little bit naive on anybody's part from the supplier basis, and I think the market has to come to us a little bit more. And that's not going to happen until we're a little bit more known, the brand is built a little bit more, and then these things are going to eventually happen.
Is there an implication there that the applications of activated carbon are a lot broader than maybe the industry thinks so right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. I mean, we like to say there's over at least 100. I've heard of 200, but you're way into three digits for specific applications for activated carbon. You know, that's used in charcoal-filtered cigarettes. It's used in solvent recovery. It's used in gold recovery to recover golds out of mines, and in drinking water purification, general air purification. The list goes on and on. And I think sometimes when you're in a market like this, they don't know the diversity that you have. We have to show that diversity technically to the other markets. So that's what I'm saying. The perception is the reality.
Right.
But if you dig a little deeper, you'll see that we've really come a long way technically with activated carbon in these other markets that we serve.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Jim Knepper of Jacobi Cardens. Todd, have you noticed that so far, we're about a day into this ACE 14, we've had a lot of dialogue around contaminants, more so than I think has been typical for us over the years. Jim, I mean, we're finding there's more emerging contaminants in water. I mean, is activated carbon suited to deal with that?
Yeah, I always have to have the precursor on that one, the emerging contaminants, like they just got discovered. let's make something that now emerges as a contaminant. But I think the answer is that there's been data that we've had to create for these contaminants that we haven't had before. You know, most of the buzz is pharmaceuticals, endocrine disruptors, things like that. And we do have products that fit the needs for removal, and high removal efficiency is what water treatment companies are looking for. So we've done studies on products that we have currently, and we're continuing to do research on these using different types of products that will have higher efficiency, higher removal rates for these types of things.
Jim, is it the contaminants themselves or the regulations, or is it truly an intelligent combination of the two things that's causing a lot of concern?
Well, from the municipality's perspective, the regulation that's most prominent is the disinfection byproducts rule. We talked a little bit about that last year in Denver.
I remember that.
Disinfection byproducts phase two. And, you know, a lot of water providers have already added GAC to comply, and others are in the middle of doing so because the regs are starting to take hold and firm up. In most cases, it's quite a jump in treatment for smaller municipalities that aren't used to it. Fortunately, carbon, GAC, and PAC, they're easy technologies to implement and operate.
You know, taste and odor, Todd, are yep. such critical elements.
That's what the consumer cares about.
You know, the water may be perfectly safe, but if it doesn't taste right, it doesn't look right, that's concerning. Talk about how that impacts how facilities go to market and continue to improve their product.
Well, you know, it's funny because some of them have seasonal needs when there's drought conditions or when there's heavy rainfall. Mm. If it's in normal conditions and you're treating surface water, sometimes a lot of people will have the ability to treat for taste and odor, but may not do it on a consistent basis. You know, others are basically adding, and they'll ask what surrogates to use for taste and odor, and we usually go with methoisoberniol, MIB, and geosmin. And I think if municipalities focus on control of these two, they'll find that their customers will be much happier. Some have specific taste and odor needs that require a specific activated carbon, and I think the challenge for us and for them working together is to make sure that the product is actually removing what's intended and not some sort of surrogate or some other, dare I say, like a bogus contaminant or surrogate that's not really what's of importance.
Pull out the crystal ball, Jim. What next in terms of technology or application of current technology do you see on the horizon?
I think just it's more and more to fit the market. And you know, as a career sales guy, I'm a big believer in that. If we, as I said before, if we come up with something that we think is the real deal 10 years from now, but it doesn't fit a current market need, it doesn't do anything. It's just going to sit on the shelf. So our objective is to listen, to ask the right questions, and really to engage the market and make sure they're telling us what they need to do. I think the biggest thing for activated carbon, as I said earlier, was if you're trying to remove contaminant ABC, don't give me contaminant 1, 2, 3 as a product. You know, a lot of the carbon market tends to look at things like iodine number as a specification for carbon and how it might remove MIB or geosmin. Mm. but it doesn't have any bearing on whether or not that's actually going to remove MIB angiosmin. So technically, we've got to become better in asking the questions and then going in the lab and formulating these products. But the other thing I think we need to do as the industry leader is we've got to work with the municipalities and our customers to make sure these specifications actually mean something in terms of removal. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Makes perfect sense.
Listen. It's that simple.
It is. It's all about listening. Yeah. You guys do a great job of it. You should know. If this gig doesn't work out, hey.
Activated carbon in my future.
We're going to call Jim Nipple
Possibly. Boss. Just right. Make sure the radio equipment comes with us so we can broadcast from wherever we go.
We can do that.
This is a lot of fun. I'd really like to have it more than 10 minutes, but I know you guys have everybody else behind you coming in.
Yeah, well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Jim. Before we let you go, how can people learn more about Jacobi Carbons?
A website's always the best, www.jacobi.net, or feel free to dial me up at our number, 215-546-3900.
Jim Knepper, the Vice President of Sales with Jacobi Carbons. Jim, as always, good to see you.
Thanks
for
fellas.
Stopping by.
Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at Water Online, this is Todd and Todd, Water Online Radio's live coverage from ACE 14. We'll be right back.